This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, talking about the lack of progress in the war in Iraq. When President Bush surprised the new Iraqi Prime Minister on his secret visit to Baghdad on June 13th, he expressed optimism about the future of Iraq. But when Prime Minister Maliki visited Washington on July 25th, Bush admitted that the security in Baghdad was terrible, even after Maliki had ordered a massive military sweep of his capital. The reasons for lack of progress in Iraq are many, but the first lesson learned is that one cannot have a successful mission if the planning is faulty. As a result of not having enough troops, the basic obligation of an occupying force, security, has not been achieved. Large ammo dumps were passed by, a great source of artillery shells for roadside bombs, and former nuclear facilities, a good source for dirty nukes, were not secured. For over 3 years, unprotected borders have allowed foreign fighters and arms to flow into the country. Furthermore, a well-reasoned State Department plan for reconstruction was scrapped. What are some of the possible measures of progress in Iraq? Progress would mean improved security for all areas of the country. This has not happened. The British have been in charge of Basra for over 3 years, but this once relatively peaceful area is now in chaos. Progress should be determined by the U.S.'s ability to prevent a civil war. Political scientists would define a civil war in Iraq as one in which armed Shias and Sunnis have killed at least 1,000 of their own people. This number was reached long ago, including 81 Sunni clerics assassinated. After 40 months of war, the average monthly kill rate of Iraqis, about 1,250, exceeds Saddam Hussein's average kill rate of 1,053, taking 300,000 as a number liquidated under his nearly 24-year rule. Even Bush conceded that 30,000 Iraqi civilians had died after the first 2 years. Progress should be measured by the number of battle-ready Iraqi troops. Only 60,000 of a force of 250,000 are prepared to stand up. The problem, however, is that can they be trusted to protect both Sunni and Shia alike? Security in Baghdad quickly deteriorated when we handed over the job to Iraqis. Sunni police refused to go into Shiite neighborhoods, and most Iraqis no longer trust anyone in uniform. There's been very little progress in reconstructing Iraq. Only a small number of the health clinics planned has been completed. Electricity is at pre-war levels, while demand is way up. Oil is flowing at only 80% of pre-war levels, much of it being stolen by criminal gangs allied with troops who are supposed to defend the pipelines. Progress in Iraq would mean that our enemies in the Middle East would be weakened and isolated. But Iran is stronger than ever, and it has strengthened its ties with Syria. All the parties in the ruling Shia coalition have close ties to Iran, and the new prime minister has supported the Iranians' desire to enrich uranium. He's also condemned Israel's bombing of Lebanon without acknowledging that Shiite terrorists started the conflict. A Marine interviewed on NPR said that we should stay in Iraq until our mission is completed, but he also admitted that our presence there was the reason for the continued insurgency. Am I the only one who finds this assessment contradictory? This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgier@adelphia.net.